Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. We're going to preview the 2024 Butterfield Bermuda Championship in wonderful Bermuda. Great field is what I'll say on this one, as the swing seasons are winding down with the RSM coming up, and then it's the Hero and a break is what it comes down to. So, yeah, not the best of fields winding things out here, but we'll get you covered on their Butterfield Bermuda. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Guys. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. This golf season's just dwindling down, and fields get weaker and weaker. It gets entertaining if you're into guys trying to get their cards, or Doug Eckroat with his second win of the season, which is crazy, and things of that sense. But if you're looking for like big boy golf, DP World Tour has actually got more big boy names over there than we have these days.
Yeah. It's I'll be honest with you. I've not paid attention because just life, football, a lot more money to be made in football or lost, depending on
yes.
What you end up doing with it there. But so golf has been very much on the back burner for me, but we are ready and have done the proper research this week to give out many winners,
per usual. Yes, and it's because if we would stick to our guns, the leaderboards recently have looked like the 6K range that we love. So we'll see how this week goes at Bermuda. I'm not gonna get too much into it. Only thing I'm gonna say is John Rahm's only 30. He just turned 30, and that shocked me. I thought for some reason he was older and probably shouldn't have, but he's been golfing forever. And then Tyrell Hatton finished runner-up again this past week in Europe. The dude just keeps crushing it, which is fun to watch. Other than that, I don't got a whole lot else on the world of golf outside of we'll see how these rule changes come into play, because that's a whole other set of fun coming up for the fields and whatnot. But I don't think anybody really knows how that's going to play out just yet. But what do you got for past event history for the Bermuda Championship?
Yeah, got a few years here. Last year, Camilo Villegas won 24 under, two shots over Alex Noren. 2022 was Seamus Power, 19 under, one shot over Tomas Dietry. 21 was Lucas Herbert, 15 under, one shot over Danny Lee, Patrick Reed. 2020 champion was Brian Gay at 15 under. 2019 champion was Brendan Todd at 24 under. So two Americans in the first 2 years, and then all internationals since.
Yep, it's it makes sense for the international vibes because it's kind of an ocean course. It gets windy at times. So if you're starting the Lynx Golf, DP World Tour type stuff, it fits in that mold. It could play like an RSM, the ocean course. There's been correlations to the other Mexican courses that the guys have played recently, or even the Plantation course in Hawaii, where you know all that comes in and you get the weather. The weather is the biggest factor here, because when you look at this golf course, it ain't nothing flashy, folks. It is a par 71, 6,800-yard golf course, Port Royal Golf Course in Bermuda. It's not much at all. It's, par 36 on the front nine, two gettable par fives. You got one gettable par five, 17th on the back nine. The back nine also has two par threes at over 235 yards. There was a post on Twitter on Tuesday that showed the green from the tee box of one of these par threes and it's on the coastline. So there's like a 30-mile wind. And they said, you try to hit that green, good luck. It's like the hardest shot that they're going to have all day. Other than that, like, it's an ocean course, but only like part of the course is on the ocean. It's like seven holes have water in play. It's just, but there's not a lot of trees. So it gets windy. It can get nasty. Super short course. Anybody can get this. It's a Zoysia. Fairways and tee boxes and rough, and you got the Bermuda greens, bunker play if you're somehow missing these greens, because it's very, very much a pitch and putt almost. So what's your thoughts on this one, Jess? You just get it looks like it's gonna be windy. There might be waves, so something to keep in mind, but as a whole, if the wind isn't there, this is a destroyable golf course.
I feel like it's windy every year.
Yeah, it's good. It should be right there. It's November. Right. It's like right on the water. It's just
the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, fits the mold.
Yeah, I mean it's a resort course, anyways. You know, it's not like people who go there are 99% of the time are terrible golfers. So it's a resort course. So it is easy if you tell by the winning scores, 20 under par. So a lot of your resort course stuff, stroke screen approach matters, birdie or better percentage, and then their par five scoring, and then plenty of enough course history to wait as well.
Yep, I'm with you. Plenty of course history. Recent form will be big as a lot of these guys are playing every event trying to get their tour cards. I was telling Jesse before the show, Joel Dahman, I think, moved up to 121. You got to get better than 120 to lock in your card for the full year next year. So there's a lot of that going on. Just a lot of dudes making some cash for the first time and getting points for all the other FedEx goodies that come along with it. If you looked at recent leaderboards, a lot of the same names are making their way to the top. You mentioned a lot of course history in recent form. So let's get out of here. Let's talk DraftKings. And you know it's one of those kind of fields when the 9K range is huge. We'll get to that in a minute. Only two 10K guys. You got Seamus Power at 10.5 and Mac Hughes at 10.3. And Seamus, I believe, has won here or finished really well here before. I can't remember. I apologize. I know you mentioned the past winners. But I know he's played well, and he plays well in these type of courses. So who you like up here? Seamus, Hughes, what do you got?
Yeah, Seamus won in 2022.
That's what I knew he did. I feel like an idiot. I know you just said all these, and I was totally blanked.
It's all good. Yeah, so 2022 champion hasn't missed a cut in four tries here. Coming off a 13th at the Zozo his last time out. Been playing really good golf, minus the Shriners missed cut there this fall. He's having a good stretch. All inside the top 15 since the Wyndham Championship way back in August. So I think he's fine. McKenzie's playing really, really good golf. He's never played at this course in a tournament setting anyways. Back-to-back top 10s for McKenzie. I don't think I will roster either one of these guys, but I would not talk anybody out of rostering either one of them either.
Yeah, in fields like this, it's hard to play stars and scrubs, but I guess they're mostly scrubs anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But if I'm going to, I'm playing Hughes. Just the course history is tremendous. We know he can handle this. The Hughes thing's interesting just because, like, Power's fourth in my model over the last 24 rounds. Hughes is 51st, but he hasn't really played much. So you mentioned he finished eighth at the Sanderson, fourth at the Procure, but he hasn't played since then. So we know he's probably the top talent in this field. It's just a matter of, does he shake off the rust in a Bermuda field like this and get it done? Very well could. Wouldn't be shocked. Like, he's first around the green over the last 24 rounds, so he can scramble his butt off if he has to. The biggest thing is you want to find the fairways here to make it a pitch and putt. Seamus is third in this field in the last 24 rounds. McKenzie Hughes is 107. Again, hasn't played in a month, but something to keep in mind for the difference of the two. So I'll take Seamus up here if I'm going up here. Like you said, might not be the best move, but you never know if you want some low-owned plays because chalk gets very chalky this time of the year. Mm-hmm. 9K range, and this actually has a lot of names that you want to play this week. That's the bad part. Matt McNeely, $9,900. Ben Griffin, 97. Dougie Gim, 96. P. Raj, 95 course history guy here. Lucas Glover, 94. Justin Lauer, nice finish last week at 93. Sam Stevens has been playing well at 92. Matty Schmid at 91. And Andrew Putnam at 9,000. I honestly, Jesse, can make a case for all of these guys. Just one guy didn't star in his whole range, and I could still see a reason to play him. So who do you like here?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. This is why you really probably there won't be that many people going above 10K because this is a loaded field or loaded range for this field. Ben Griffin at 97, two out of two make cuts here, finished third in 22, coming off back-to-back top 25s, back-to-back make cuts, playing pretty solidly this fall. Doug Gim at 9,600. The course history is not great. Miscut, 14th miscut. However, he does he has played very well this fall. His worst finish was 33rd over a month ago in the Sanderson's Farms. He's been playing every event basically in the fall swing here. And has had some, second place finish at the Shriners, 20th last week. So pretty solid. Lucas Glover at 9,400. Two out of two make cuts. His best finish here is 45th. It's not great, but he is playing really solid golf right now. 24th, third, 13th in his last four starts. Schmid was really hot going into last week. I played him on the one team that I had, and he missed the cut. And so take that for what it's worth. Before that, two straight top fives, third and fifth, 16th at the Sandersons the week before that. So really solid three-week stretch going into the Mexico championship there, and then obviously misses the cut. Finished third here last year, 61st the year before that. I love Putnam, 21st here in 2020, and then 27th in his last start at the Zozo, 16th before that, 25th, 44th. Hasn't missed a cut this fall swing out of four events, playing pretty solid golf. So I think he, at 9,000 at that price, I like him quite a bit.
Yep, Putnam is a solid, but I got Schmid's first in my model, so I'm with you on that one. You missed in the recent form, not minus the cut, but he's eighth off the tee in this field, third birdie or better, which is what we obviously want. And we see the scores you mentioned, 12th in fairways gained, which allow for it, seventh in par five. You got to crush these three par fives. So, yeah, he checks every box there. Sam Stevens, 15th in the field. He's first in birdie or better in this field. And if you want to do the longer par threes, he's 12th in the field, so that could be an advantage to try to score on those where most people will not. I got Lowry, he's 20th in the field. Lucas Glover's eighth in the field. He's second in opportunities gained. Lowry's fourth in birdie or better. Like, these are why Lowry's actually second in par fives. So if you really want to get fun in this one, you got P-Rod, he's fifth in the field in par fives. Dougie Gims, sixth in the model. He's fourth in opportunity. Like, these guys are all legit. Love Matt McNeely, though. Like, because you talk about these slower Zoja greens. We saw how he was putting last week. I think he is a big boy play here because you want to get the hot putter, and he can. I also like Ben Griffin. He's just been awesome pretty much all year. We've been playing a lot of Ben Griffin, and he's been backing it up in these fields. But I'll be honest, what I would love to do is, if you can find a good source for ownership percentage, whatever you choose, if it's Fantasy National, if it's somewhere else, it's Fantasy Labs like Jesse uses, anywhere else, this is a great range to literally just avoid the chalk because these are all really good players. I could see them all going near the top. I think Schmidt, like, he's first in my model, should be the favored man in this range. But like I said, when I introduced this section, I could hear arguments for all of them, and I would not say no, essentially. So I think this will be a big range to kind of fade some chalk and see where it goes. I imagine P-Raj kind of gets the odd straw on this one just because it's Rogers, but his course history is great. He is the most volatile probably in this range, so I get it. Good week to sprinkle in pieces here, and if you do play a chalk, you know the rules. Just avoid chalk elsewhere. But this is a great range to mix and match if you really want to. 8K, you got Daniel Berger's up to 89, Novak 88, Johnny V 87, Nicholas Echeverria 86, Brendan Todd 85, Mark Hubbard 84, Nick Taylor 83, Joe Highsmith 82, Kevin Yu 81, and Jacob Bridgman 8,000. Another really strong range actually for this field.
Yeah, and I only got three guys checked off. Daniel Berger at 8,900. Never played here, but has made his last four cuts on tour, trending in the right direction for a guy who we know has very high upside whenever he gets his game back. Seventh place at the Sandersons about a month ago, 20th his last time out to Worldwide Technology. So I like him quite a bit this week. And then Joe Highsmith at 8,200. He finished fifth last week, 16th the week before that, sixth the week before that. So three straight top 16s for Joe Highsmith. Who this guy is, you know, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. However,
great fall golf, man.
He's been playing really, really well. He's never played here, but I think he is definitely playable at 8,200. Kevin Yu at 8,100, 30th here last year, 16th last week or 2 weeks ago, the Zozo. Missed the cut at the Sandersons, missed the cut the Shriners, won the Sanderson, missed the cut the Wyndham. I think he's definitely playable. 8,100 down there, and that's all that I have.
Yeah, I'm with you on Berger, 89. Like you mentioned, never played here before, but like you also mentioned, like, we're starting to see glimpses of Berger, 20th, 39th, 35th, 7th of his last four events. Like, he's legit. When he was healthy, he was probably better than anybody else in this field right now. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. So it's like one of those, and we've been saying it even before the playoffs, like, keep taking cheap Berger because eventually it's going to start clicking and it's going to be, and there's a reason he's playing every fall event. Like, Berger doesn't play every fall event. Like, right. So he's getting ready for next year, and it might not happen this week, but still at 8,900, I think it's a phenomenal option to try. He's probably like got more win equity than a lot of these dudes at that price point. So yeah, Berger at 89, fully on board with you on that one. Novak at 88 is interesting. He's ninth in my model. Good in the short par fours, again, shorter golf course here. Good on the longer par threes as well, kind of middle of the pack elsewhere. So you can pick your poison there if you want. I don't have Johnny Vegas checked off. I'm just going to throw it out there. This guy somehow shows up at these kind of resorty, oceany type courses. So keep that in the back of your mind if you're feeling frisky. Echeverria, I checked off. He's 47th in my model, but the way he's been playing of late, really hard to ignore how good Echeverria's been. Fifth or sixth last week, first week before, missed cut 11th. So three out of four tournaments, like just playing great, great golf. And then he's played twice here, not great, a 76 and a 23rd. Obviously a much different golfer right now. Look at Nicholas Echeverria. And then I had Mark Hubbard. He's 17th in my model, eighth in fairways gained, eighth on the par fours we're looking at here. And a guy that's got some good history as well. When you look at this golf course, 20th, missed cut 22nd over the last 3 years. So Hubs, don't mind him. And then I think I have one. I got a couple. Joe Highsmith, 10th in my model. Love everything about him. Second birdie or better. You hit on a lot of this stuff. Dude's been lights out good. He's 11th in par five scoring, 10th in good drives. He's setting himself up for success. Kevin Yu, had him as well, 19th in my model. He's third on the longer par threes, which can be very, very big. And then Jacob Bridgman, I'll keep playing him as well. He's 31st in my model, but 7th in birdie or better. Or no, wait, yeah, 7th in birdie or better, 19th in the short par fours. And if you look at his recent results, 14th last week, 29th at Shriners, 46th at Black Desert, 11th at the Sanderson. He's shown a ability to go low, first time playing here, but don't mind Bridgman as well. As we're getting a lot of these Korn Ferry guys coming up here, getting their chances to go low, and they go low on the Korn Ferry. It's the perfect course for them to keep things going.
So Joe Highsmith is out, apparently.
That sucks. All right. Because I loved him, but I'm probably not alone. The dude's been playing so good. He should be like more than 82 in this field.
This is according to – this is on DraftKings. It was posted yesterday at 11 – at 12:40.
And he's both out. Of our systems don't have him marked out. That's good. That's good.
That's – yeah, that's odd that neither one of them have taken him out. But
like golf, I'm looking at different things. It's a not 100% current, but Highsmith no longer showing in the field. There's really no like official announcement anywhere though.
Even like, PGA Tour hasn't said it.
No, I've literally searched in the Twitter, and usually it's pretty good about. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Taylor Montgomery out, Will McGirt in, Highsmith out, Rusty Knox taking his spot, folks.
Yeah, yeah. It's official Knox. From PGA Tour comms yesterday.
That's I don't what I was reading. Yeah.
Wow. Know why. Neither one of
well, it's probably because
it shows you what time of year it is.
Yeah, exactly. It shows you they don't give a crap about what we're doing because usually that'll be X'd out or something right out the gate. But
right,
the it fact just, it's not. No,
and it's bad. It took for like that was before they even put the salaries out yesterday.
Yeah, that's November 11th. That was yesterday. We're recording on the 12th. Yeah,
and they didn't bring them out till like 3 o'clock yesterday, my time. Yeah, remember because you were like, if yeah, we get salaries, we'll record today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's people wonder why we're just having fun this time of year too. It's so hard when none of this stuff gives a rat's ass, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So no Highsmith. Don't play him.
Don't play my model.
Doesn't matter anymore. Unless you're playing me, feel free to play him.
Yeah.
75 to 79. Hopefully these guys are in there. Rico Hoey, who I always love. Alex Smalley, Carson Young. You know, Young coming off a top five finish. He's $7,800. Grayson Sigg at 78. Michael Kim, 77. Kim's the one that tweeted that the par three I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Really cool picture because you can barely see the green. Because a lot of the tee box, I forgot to mention that, a lot of them are like blind shots. So your course knowledge does help, or at least through the practice rounds to learn a course. Vince Whaley, 77. Nick Hardy, 76. Henrik Norlander, 76. Ben Cole, 76. Wes Bryan, 75. Joel Dahman, 75. Hayden Springer, 75. And Ryo, 75. So what do you like in this range? Because weirdly enough, I'm kind of sick in the head. I know. I kind of still like the 7K guys. This is for a bad field. There's playable plays. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Start with 7,900 Alex Smalley. 3 out of 3 make cuts here. 30th, 11th, 12th in his last three starts at this event. 4 straight make cuts for him on tour. Rico, right below him. Never played here, but has not missed a cut since the U.S. Open all the way back in June. So that's a lot of made cuts in a row for a guy at this price, especially. Been playing all these fall events. Third is his best finish this fall, but you know, just making cut after cut after cut. Grayson Sigg at 7,800, two out of two made cuts, 11th, 22nd in his two appearances here. And coming off 23rd last week, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, Shriners, and then Black Desert, he was 11th. So I like Sigg quite a bit. Nick Hardy at 76, two out of three made cuts, made his last two, 45th and 23rd. Come off a 30th place finish last week. Ben Coles, I like him quite a bit too. 39th his last time here. But, I mean, the form, necessarily not necessarily great coming in, but 56th missed cut, 46th, 16th in his last four starts. So not ideal by any means, but I do like Ben quite a bit. And then Wes Bryan at 7,500, 37th last year at this event. Made the cut and finished sixth last week, has been playing fall swing events all year almost. He's made four in a row, which is very, very solid.
And he's getting to tee up with his brother for the first time ever.
Yeah. We're going to tout George too.
Oh, yeah.
George. Oh, one more. Rio at 7,500. Yeah. Very playable.
It's a fun range, weirdly enough. Yeah. Rico Hoey, love him. Second in my model. Fifth in birdie or betters over the last 24 rounds, 14th fairways gained, 7th in the par threes, 16th in the par fours, and 15th in the par fives. Literally, he's basically 25th or better in almost every key category I'm looking at outside of putting and around the green. Like, the dude has been pretty, pretty good. You mentioned Smalley, 12th in my model. I love Smalley. Honestly, in a field like this, I thought Smalley would be a little higher priced, but I'll take the 79. Carson Young for Birdie Fest. It's boom or bust. We saw the boom last week. We've seen plenty of busts, but 13th in my model, 9th in birdie or better, 15th in the fairways gained. So I'm with you there. Grayson Sigg, you mentioned like the course history and the form. Love him at 78. Vince Whaley at 77. His recent form's been pretty great. You mentioned Wes Bryant. Wes Bryant, he's 37th in my model. Yeah, when I think short courses, guys like Brian really stand out to me. So, fan of that. Joel Dahman, I don't hate. I know he's been very polarizing. Might not have the ability to win a golf tournament. Finished 14th last week. He's fighting for that top 120 to keep his card. If you look at recent events for Dahman, 14th, 41st, withdrew, 40th, cut, 50th. Like, who knows exactly what you're going to get with Joel Dahman. But it's also a guy that at $7,500 – where did he go? He has never played here before, so he's definitely fighting for his card. So keep him in mind. But remember, his only career win came in an alt event. I believe it was it Corrales or something like that. So keep that in mind with Joel Dahman. He can play at these coastal courses as well. All right, 7K to 7,400. I'll just let you go. Who you like in this range?
Yeah, Chesson Hadley at 7,400. Two out of two made cuts at this event. 17th and 16th in his two starts. His last start was 2022. Made the cut last week, finished 39th. Ryan Moore at 7,200. Finished fifth here last year, coming off a missed cut last week. But that's a little, you know, course history there on the, or at least, yeah, course history play on Ryan Moore. One start, obviously not great sample, but either way, finished fifth. Austin Smotherman, two out of three made cuts, made his last two cuts at this event, but has, he missed the cut last week, withdrew from his previous event before that. Lonto Griffin, two out of two made cuts and is coming in pretty good form for somebody at $7,000. Has not missed a cut since the John Deere back in July. I mean, not necessarily great finishes, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who's $7,000 here, his best finish since then was 10th at the ISCO Championship. This fall, his best finish is 29th, but playing solid golf for Lonto, and I think he's on the a little bit of a comeback train after a little bit of a lull in his career.
Yeah, this is the range where things like 75 and above, huge fan of pretty much a lot of guys. Now it gets a little dicey. $7,400, I got Chesson Hadley as well. The course history gets me excited about him. Nate Lashley at $7,400 doesn't rate out great in my model, 89th, but dude's made five straight cuts. He's made every cut since the Sanderson Farms. 16th and a 29th in there, otherwise barely making the cut type numbers. So, you know, pick your poison. Cage Lee's coming off a missed cut at the Worldwide, but prior to that, 63rd, 5th, 46th, 23rd. And, you know, he's TPC Lee. He likes resort courses. I'm not sure he's the best wind player. Doesn't rate out great right now, but made four out of five cuts. Could be a dude. He's 18th in my model. Like, he's not horrible. He's 14th in par fives, 12th in the par fours. He could be a guy. Lipsky, he's always got boomer bust potential at 73. Streelman on a short course, I don't mind at $7,300. You got a guy who's never played here before, at least not in a long time, which is quite surprising. But 24th last week, missed cut at the Shriners, third at the Black Desert, so, and 42nd at the Sanderson. Three out of four cuts, two of them in the top 25. So don't mind that for Streels, and he loves pebbles, so maybe he's got a little correlation. We'll see here. Dylan Wu at 72, I can get behind him. Garrett Higo at 71, another good week last week. You know, at this price tag, it's a guy that could be a top 10 guy. He also missed a cut, but like sixth last week, 54th, two missed cuts, then 26th. I like his GPP potential at $7,100. And then Zach Blair at 71, also shorter course play here, but recent form for Blair has made five out of six cuts. If you really want to go back to the Procure, only one of them, the Procure, is 13th, the rest are 45th and worst. So maybe not the biggest GPP potential. And then Brandon Wu at 7K, another guy that can go super low or all the bogeys in the world. So fun range there. All right, now it gets even worse. 6K range, who do you like in this one?
I mean, David Skins, three straight make cuts for him. He made the cut here in 2021, finished 34th. Brant Snedeker has never played here, but he's made three straight cuts on the tour, which are kind of spaced out pretty far. It's not great, but 16th his last time out at the Sanderson Farm. Carl Yawn, fourth here last year and has terrible form coming in. So there you go on that. And then last but not least, George Bryan, man. I mean, the dude made the cut here last year. He finished 69th, so obviously not ideal, but still, if you watch him and his brother Wesley play their YouTube videos, George has such a good swing and just hits it so well. I'm sure it's a lot of it's between his ears. So if he can get it, get the brain figured out for a few rounds, I like his I like the chances of him making the cut this week at least at 6,100.
At 61, I'm with you. I don't mind taking the chance there in tournaments. If you want to get weird, I'm cool with that. Ryan Brehm at 63 is a guy, if you're going deep, I wouldn't hate. He finds the fairways. We've seen him get hot on these kind of smaller tournaments last year where he actually picked up a win. So he'd be one to potentially look at, but obviously not the best of a form. He's, you know, 64th last week and missed four straight cuts prior to that. So not putting merit on recent form, but he finished 20th here last year, missed cut in 23, and then 26th and 51st the previous two. So he's played well at this golf course. So don't mind Ryan Brehm at 63. Tyler Alexander is out of the field now as well, so we can cross him off the list. Ryan McCormick at $6,600. He finished 24th last week at the Worldwide, 16th at the Shriners, missing three cuts prior to that, but back-to-back really strong performances for McCormick at 6,600. And I don't believe, yeah, he's never played here before. Other than that, not in love with pretty much anything in this range. I hope to not get down here, but we shall see. All right, we already know you like Seamus at 10, so do I. Who do you like in the 9K range as we recap things here, Jesse?
Putnam,
I like it, I like it. I'm going to go with Schmid at 9,100, 8K range.
Burger
is the play. I was going to say Highsmith, but I forgot he is out of the pool. Let me take that star off. Give me Bridgman in this one. 75 to 79.
Sig.
I'm going to go Hoey. 7K to 74. Yeah, it gets rough now.
Chesson, Hadley.
I'm going to go with Garrett Higo, boomer.
Actually, Lanto. I'm going to take Lanto.
That's your boy. Yeah, that's your boy. I'll go Higo. You go Lanto. One of us will make the cut. 6K range if you have to.
Sneds.
I'll take your boy Skins because more I looked at him. If I have to get to. No, I'll be fair. At 69, I'll go McCormick. I'll go a little lower for you. Back-to-back really good weeks. Hopefully, he can put something together. I wouldn't recommend playing cash in a field like this, but I guess if you are, where would you start, Jesse?
I mean, probably Putnam, Burger, Hooey.
Yeah, I was looking at Hooey for sure. Yeah, that's fair. I think we'll just leave it there. That's tournaments. This is a fun turn. Like, I'm half debating doing like a 20 max just to have some fun for the fun of the final weeks of the year. Where are you looking to start a GPP build?
I would probably go like Schmid. Ben Coles and Yeah, let me. Smalley.
That's fair. I go Burger, Hoey, and Sig. And you can go as high or low around that as you want. But there's a lot of bill. Like, this is, these are the kind of tournaments that you could leave like money on the table and walk away and see how things go. All right, now where the fun really begins is finding value in this field, Jesse. You like anybody to win this thing? Because you could get some good numbers, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is with odds anymore. I mean, against Seamus Power, Mackenzie Hughes are the favorites. They're 16 to 1, and they should be 25 to 1.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Putnam at 30, clicked on his name. Grayson Sig at 40.
I like that Sig number a lot.
You know, and then, man, it's really, really tough. I'm not nearly plugged in as much as I should be on these odds to tell you. Good. Like,
it's all good.
That this is, I'm going to bet those two, though. I'm betting them right now. So,
like, I'm looking at top 20s. Hoey at
$1 on each.
There you go. Hoey at plus 140, Sig at plus 150 for top 20s. I like those. If you want deeper than plus, you want plus 200 or deeper. I honestly, weirdly enough, do not mind Streels at plus 230. Just something about him in these fields is interesting. Hago's plus 260 if you want to get real weird to top 20. Your boy Grit Lantos plus 280 to top 20. And then I just mentioned, let me see where he's at. McCormick's been 24th and like 16th the last 2 weeks. If you want to think he gets top 20, he's plus 450 if you want to have some fun. So, like, that's cheap. But, yeah, it's one of those weeks where you're – like, look at the leaderboard last week. You're going to get a lot of dudes that no one thought had a chance to even top 10 right. This thing. And that'll happen this week, too. That's going to be the fact. Like, you know what's going to happen is one of Power or Hughes, if not both, missed the cut. That's probably where things will get fun.
Yeah.
Because that's how these events work. And then just boom goes the dynamite all over the place.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll wrap it up there, Jesse. Any final thoughts for the crew before we come back next week for the RSM and basically wrap up the 2024 season?
I don't. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, everybody. I like the RSM, except for the two-course part. But hopefully you guys enjoy this week. We did not have Shot Tracker in Mexico, but we did have it when they went over to Japan. I doubt we'll have it in Bermuda. Just throwing that out there. It'd be nice if they did, but I'm guessing we don't. So hopefully that helps if we get it, but don't hold your breath. We'll be back with you guys next week, barring schedules. Life is busy these days, but we'll try to be back for you guys next week for the RSM. If not, good luck this week. This is your 2024 Butterfield Bermuda Championship preview. Catch you all next time. Anybody else?